Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, May 9th, 2022. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. Just a few helpful tips for people joining via phone call. You can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise hand or lower hands by pressing *9. Everyone on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you go under reactions, you can click on the raise hand icon to raise or lower your virtual hands. That indicates that you would like to speak and we can have one speaker at a time. And I thank everyone for following that. So thank you in advance. Everybody is probably on mute at this time. And I would request to stay on mute unless you're speaking. It helps us eliminate any external noise. So thank you. If you're a regular person who joins this meeting as a member of the public, you probably know that we have ESL interpreters on this call with us. Anybody who would like to make some comments before speaking, I would request for you to state your name. It helps the interpreters doing their job well. Anyone joining through phone calls, it also helps them knowing who the speaker is at that moment. Chair Calabia, before I take the roll call, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda for today's meeting.
Sure, please do.
Okay, thank you. So for our bus and rail subcommittee meeting, the agenda is as follows. After I finish reading the meeting agenda out loud, I would go through the roll call of our AAC committee members. At 4:05, Chair Calabia will review and go through the motion of approval of today's meeting agenda, as well as last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we have Samuel Shib and possibly another guest speaker to talk about bus fare box and provide us some update. At 4:45, we would have Al Hines and Jim Hamley to give us information about Metro bus service changes. On the agenda, we have floating bus stop discussion by the committee at 5:15. I believe Chair Calabia may be proposing an amendment to that. At 5:45, we will take any public comments, if any, and the meeting will adjourn at 6 p.m. That concludes the meeting agenda for today.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this point, I would go ahead and take the roll call. All the members who have already joined, please confirm your presence. Bernice Bush. Tino Calabia?
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles? Rico Dancy?
Here.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher?
I'm here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein? Steve Caffin? Thomas Mangrum, Philippa Mazel, Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray, Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semelford, Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. And Kelly Simono. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Before I hand it over to you, Chair Calabia, I would just request and remind all the presenters for today's meeting. Some of you may be using a visual presentation. For that, I would request for you to please describe it in detail. And that would be very convenient for our members and members of the public who are blind or have low vision. For any comments, I would just remind that everyone would be allotted 3 minutes initially for every speaker, not the guest speakers, but anyone who else would like to make comments. I would try to alert you 30 seconds in advance. And at the end of 3 minutes, you would hear a sound to inform you that the 3 minutes have ended. And we are practicing this to ensure that anybody who would like to make some comments or have any questions do get an opportunity to do so. If we have any additional time remaining and any member who's joining has additional comments or questions, we would definitely come back to you so that you can complete your questions or comments. And at this point, Chair Calabria, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Anu. We have to first approve the agenda. Do you want to outline what the agenda is again?
Okay, sure. After your approval, we would have a topic, bus fare box update.
Right.
Afterwards, we would have another topic, Metro bus service changes.
Yes.
And then we have floating bus stops as committee discussion. And I believe you would like to do an amendment.
Yes, I would like to amend so that we could back up and deal with the recommendation we made to the WMATA board that it helped encourage use of masks on trains and buses.
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. Dr. Posner has raised his hand. Dr. Posner, go ahead, please.
If we have time, WMATA has just announced that the north entrance of L'Enfant Plaza will be closed for the next 7 months.
And Dr. Posner, I apologize, but your voice is very faint.
Sorry about that. The north entrance of L'Enfant Plaza is to be closed for 7 months. We might talk about how people will be getting to the new headquarters once they are open for both Metro Access and if we have our meetings there.
Okay, so just to make sure that everybody was able to understand what Dr. Posner was saying, he was stating that the north entrance at L'Enfant Plaza station would be closed for 7 months. And he is proposing a discussion about that as far as how people may be able to get to the new headquarters of WMATA.
I accept the agenda amendment. Any discussion? The amendment is accepted. We can add that towards the end of the a meeting. Is that all?
Does that call for an approval of the agenda?
I asked for an approval. And I didn't hear any objections to adding that. Are there any objections to adding the discussion of how we will have our meetings at the L'Enfant Plaza new office in light of the fact that the Metro Rail station will be closed for 7 months there? If there's no objection, we'll discuss that towards the end of the meeting.
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. It's not the entire station, it's one entrance.
One entrance, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Now we should deal with the minutes of the last meeting, am I right?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Well, with respect to the minutes of the last meeting, we heard a discussion of the wayfinding application. And in fact, Tom Pei, the chief executive officer, was with us at the time. And Zankar Sevak, the director of engineering, made the presentation. I might mention that during that presentation by the WayMap officers, it was mentioned that I'll read the sentence because there was some question about it at our last meeting. Due to the extra hardware needed, it will not support any customers using wheelchairs. I mentioned that before, and I had hoped that if I had been able to test the WayMap app in Silver Spring, I might have been able to get further explanation of that, but that was in the meeting minutes for the at our last meeting. We also talked about, station planning projects. And we discussed the Purple Line project. And we finally closed with that discussion. We reviewed this in brief at our last AAC meeting last Monday. Now we're reviewing it a second time. Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes as written? Is there a motion from anyone? Are there any objections to the...
So
I'll second that.
Thank you very much. Can we have a vote for approving it, having had a motion to approve in a second? If there are no objections, then we accept the minutes as they were presented and as I reviewed it a second time today. Now, moving forward with the agenda item, let me explain that I'm at a little disadvantage. This is the first time that I've not been able to attend a Zoom meeting from my home office, and I'm working with an iPad that I'm a little unfamiliar with for dealing with the meeting. So I'm relying, as usual, on Anu,
who's
100% every time, and even more so this time.
You're doing just fine, Chair Kalabi, and we can hear you really well today, actually. So okay. Our first topic of discussion is bus fare box update, and Samuel Shabe and Gary Garback are the presenters. And I believe I saw them on.
I'm here, Anu. This is Samuel Shabe, and Greg is on as well.
Wonderful. So it's all yours, Sam.
All right. Good afternoon, Chair Kalabia and members of the committee, and Anu, thank you for having me on today. I'm delighted to tell you about our Farebox project and the updates we have to show you. Am I going to be able to present my screen? Right, I tried and I'm not able to present at the moment. Can you give me permission?
Yes, one quick second and you should be able to share it now.
Okay, let me hit. Just one moment.
While he's doing it, I'll mention that I, as well as a few other members of the committee, examined the fare box in front of our former headquarters.
Okay, very good. So the screen is presented. Yes. Did you want to speak, Chair Kalabia, or should I go ahead?
No, you go ahead.
All right, thank you. Okay, so just a brief agenda. We're going to recap the two events we've had with the AAC. I'll tell you about some of the improvements we're going to make and then the next steps. And then at the end, I'll have some time for some questions or even some feedback from the members who were attending last week who'd like to discuss it. This was the second event we've had with the AAC regarding the Farebox project. We've had committee members both times. And then from the WMATA side, we had, of course, the ADAP team, safety, FAIR, that's my group, AFCE, these are the engineers for WMATA, that stands for Automated FAIR Collection Engineering. And then the contractors who are providing the products, Cubic is the prime, but we also have a company called GenFAIR, who is the subcontractor who actually builds the Farebox itself. The Farebox being one of the three components of what we generically refer to as the next generation Farebox. So the first of these was last July, and it was a pretty hot day, but we got a little bit of luck with the weather. It wasn't excruciating, and we had a good turnout. You'll see in the top photograph, there's a sort of a Smurf looking Farebox with a blue lid that's printed on not a 3D printer, but a three-dimensional printer. So it was basically a rough draft of how the lid would look. And then we put that on top of a Farebox just to give an idea of the fit. But the main thing we were trying to accomplish is to establish the best location for the validator. And we got some great feedback from the committee and ultimately elected to do a hanging mount. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But last week's event on the 5th was to show you the Farebox that's partially functional and let you get a sense of some of the improvements we'd made. And I'll show you those in a moment as well. But I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that we've had a lot of great guidance and feedback and teamwork from the Office of Policy and Planning for ADA. And so really appreciate Anu and Carol Lopez's continual work with us on this project. They got in early and they've made really helpful feedback that we've been able to make actionable without having to go back later and fix things. So they've been on from early in the project and we're really delighted about that cooperation. So among the features we've worked on is the hanging mount. I'll discuss that more in just a moment. We've got the tactile features that you'll see in a second and that you might've seen last week if you were there. Aligning the reader with the fare gates and then working on the size of the font on the patron facing screen of the Farebox. What you're seeing on the screen here is a side-by-side comparison of a stock FastFare Farebox. Now, FastFare is the latest and greatest iteration of the Farebox from the company called GenFAIR that makes about 90% of all the Fareboxes in service in the United States. On the right, you see WMATA's custom lid, what we colloquially call a clean lid, because there are three components in the stock Farebox that WMATA does not use. One is the dispenser for smart cards or magnetic stripe cards. Then along the top of the Farebox, laterally, there's this swipe reader that reads a magnetic stripe. And then at the top right corner of the Farebox, there's the familiar Wi-Fi looking symbol, which is for collecting information from smart cards, as opposed to smart trip cards, which are, of course, the proprietary card that WMATA uses. On the Farebox on the right, all of that is gone. So that's why we call this the clean lid. It is custom for WMATA. I'll tell you more about the other things we've added on the next slide. I do want to point out that the FastFare stock image from their website shows this thing looking shiny and metallic. And the one on the right is more of a gray. It's a sort of a gunmetal gray. That's just the way their website looks. The lid we have is the way a real Farebox looks. So it's not shinied up for the website the way theirs is. So I want you to know it's not that they're two different products necessarily. It's just that that's the way it looks on their website. So the improvements we've completed so far are to add 5/8-inch raised characters under the action buttons. So on the screen, we're showing our clean lid Farebox with the patron screen and 4 blue buttons lit up. Those are the keys for add value, which is rendered with a plus sign and raised characters beneath it. The done button for when you've completed an add value transaction, that's represented with a circle. Then there's the check balance, which is represented with a question mark. And lastly, the cancel button, which is a large X. And then just underneath those and in the center of the farebox lid, we also have raised characters for a dollar sign and a cent sign with arrows pointing one to the right and one to the left. And that's to identify the coin deposit spot and then the bill transporter on the right. So these are upgrades that are unique to WMATA. No other GenFare, you know, of those 90% of the fare boxes in the country made by GenFare, nobody else has these raised characters. It's just us. So we're very proud to show this off to you. The screen has changed to show a new image of the validator that's hanging from the mount. And this has the screen lit up. And on it, you can see a green checkbox. This check mark aligns with the screens on our fare gates so that they look the same. If you go to our fare box and you see an X, it looks the same as the fare gates X, and the same with the check mark and other information to create a more uniform experience, which is particularly helpful to people who might have a developmental disability so that they don't have to learn two sets of characters in two different parts of the system. And you're also seeing the hanging reader mount, which the AAC helped us identify as the optimal location at that event last July. In process, we do have the larger font sizes. So the screen that you're presently seeing, the patron screen we showed you last week, is the smaller font sizes, but we expect this to happen later in the year, and I'll give you a rundown of those dates in just a moment. I don't know how well you'll be able to hear this. It sounds good on my computer. You may want to turn up the volume slightly. I'm going to show you a video of the validator in operation, mostly to give you an indicator of the sound. And helpfully, the cubic worker who was present with us is narrating as he goes. So when he's going to tap a weekly card, he says, "This is a weekly card." And then he taps it and you can see what happens. So I'm going to go ahead and hit play. We can do it again if we need to, but let's just see how it goes here. Let me just pause. Did everybody hear that beep? Is that audible?
No, I didn't.
No. Sam, you might have to check a box when you share. There should be a box saying include audio.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. Sure. Let's see. I'm at the top. You're probably seeing my screen more. Is there show subtitle? Yeah. Do you see it already? Oh, share sound. There it is. Great. Okay. I'm going to start again. Could you hear it?
Yes.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
All right. I'll let it play this time.
That's a valid card tap.
He said valid card tap.
Pass expired.
Pass expired.
A variety of cards here.
This, oops.
That's a charge. Valid card tap. Pass expired. I got a variety of cards here. Insufficient balance. I think that's a weekly pass. And that's just another card. And then you can show with your phone.
Okay. Should I play it again or are we okay? Chair Calabia, what do you think?
Yeah, so far.
All right. I will continue then. So on to next steps. We expect the patron screen updates in September. We are testing now and we'll continue lab testing through October when we're going to install two complete farebox systems on two buses and begin piloting those. That's called an in-service test, an IST. We'll do that throughout November and December and collect data and make any adjustments we need to, with the installations beginning in January of 2023 and continuing through January of 2024. I do want to point out that there's a photograph on the screen right now showing Carol Lopez on a bus demonstrating the new fare box to a patron. Then our regional partners, they already have the opportunity to purchase fare boxes, and many of them have done so already, but we will be the first ones to install. And then shortly after that, they will be able to install on their buses, and soon the entire region will have the same fare box like we do now. And then now is the time for questions. If you have any, I'm happy to entertain them.
I might mention that the committee had been concerned that a lot of our riders are of very low income and may not have credit cards or that kind of thing. In short, they might need to use money, i.e. cash, dollar bills or coins. And apparently this system allows for the use of cash bills and coins, correct?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. It's a great question, Chair Calabia. Yes, we do. We will continue to collect dollars and coins, but it also takes, of course, a smart trip card as well as cell phone payments. If you have the latest and greatest iPhones or Droid phones, you can pay with your phone. Someday soon, we will be able to take credit card payments in a couple of years. That's WMATA soon, not everywhere else soon, but that is coming. But yes, we will continue to collect cash.
Let me also mention that hopefully riders who must use cash will have the correct amount. Because if, for example, you owe 50 cents for your fare, 40 cents for your fare, and only have two quarters, you can insert the quarters, but you will not receive 10 cents change. That's not a major handicap, but it is a fact. You'll be able to use cash, including coins, but if you don't have the exact change, as I understand it, you will not receive any cash back.
That will continue as now. The machines will not generate change.
Any other questions?
Someone has a hand up.
Yes, this is Philippa. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm just wondering, what is this going to do to your boarding times? If someone up front doesn't have sufficient cash and doesn't have whatever they need to pay it, and they, do they have to get off the bus, or they're late for work or whatever? What happens with that? Does it run a debit on the card or something?
Our cards do not go negative. So this is that part is certainly a status quo to what we have today. If you don't have enough money, you have to load value. That's something we contend with right now on our buses as it is now. So that's not different from today. It's always a problem for transit agencies. You don't want people to have to spend a lot of time feeding money into the fare box. But
right.
But these are, with WMATA's new payment options like mobile, we're able to speed people through the process better than ever. Of course, you can always add value at stations, but we want to make sure we maintain the add value function, even though it does consume time. But it's really important for our lower income patrons to be able to do that on a bus and not have to necessarily go to a station or to a local shop that might have a CPOS device or something like that. So we're maintaining all of the functionalities of the current fare box, but making a number of improvements in terms of speeding things up, easier maintenance, and of course, better ADA accessibility with the new system.
Oh yes, I agree the ad fare is very convenient. So that wasn't a criticism at all, it was just a question.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
If any other members of the AAC have any questions or comments, please go ahead and unmute yourself.
Okay, until then, this is Carol Lopez. I just wanted to make a comment about how these the payment validator and the fare box work and the ease of use. I know that Sam's done an exceptional job of describing it, etc. But for the typical user who may have a smart trip card, you just tap and go, basically, just like that. And it's that the tap is at a more accessible height so that if you use a wheelchair, it's a little difficult to board the bus in a wheelchair because of the slope, etc. So you just tap at a low at an area that's closer to the chair, and you can keep going. So that's the convenience of it. And as you have all discussed, you can add fare just like you did before. And the screen is going to be much more visible than the current screen. So if you have low vision, you will be able to see better if you have a balance. But if you don't, if you cannot see, you can just ask the operator, "What's my balance?" And they will tell you, because they can see everything that's on that screen on their side as well. Okay.
Hi. Okay, this is Philippa again. I just wanted to make sure you drill that into your bus drivers, that if someone asks them what's the fare, that they not get impatient. I find bus drivers usually don't like answering questions. And I understand they probably get hit all day with questions, but just make sure they know to just go ahead and tell the person the balance and not say, "Can't you see it?" and all that sort of thing. Because I've had that happen. Yes. Thank you.
That's a really good point. We'll probably need to discuss how to use, they're going to be using, I assume, training on how to use the new fare box. We can include that in the discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is any other members with any questions or comments? Okay.
Yes, hi, I know this is Vanessa. I am on the phone today, 3058 is my number.
Okay, thank you.
My question is, when will this be rolled out, and is it going to be piloted first?
The pilot will be in October, so we'll have two vehicles equipped with the new farebox system on the street, and we'll be collecting data through November and December, and then there'll be a point in mid January, where we'll have what we call a go, no go, where we'll determine if the system is functioning well enough that we can go ahead and begin the installations at the end of January 2023.
So, when is advertisement going to take place to the public, the general public?
Advertisement. We would not advertise a pilot, but go ahead, please.
Yeah, just to let them know what's going on, because by what I usually send out emails to the people on my distribution list to let them know what's going on. But I'm just saying, I guess for the general public, I know you'll probably put on a website, but is that the way it's going to be advertised?
We are, this project has the engagement of a wide variety of people from WMATA, and that does include our communications team. So we will have a fully vetted communications plan for rolling this information out to the public.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Vanessa. Any other member who would like to make some comments or questions? Please go ahead and come off of mute now.
Okay. Someone rang.
That was my timer. I apologize. I forgot to turn it off after Vanessa paused her question. I do not see any more hands up. It sounds like Sam has done such a wonderful job in his presentation that it was, quite clear to everyone, and all the members who participated had their questions at that time also. So perhaps that's why they got their responses at the time of testing as well.
Excellent.
Well, thank
you. All right, Chair Calabia, thank you very, very much for having me on today. I really enjoyed telling about the project. And of course, I'm always available through email if you have any follow-up questions.
Right. Thanks again, Sam.
Okay.
Thank you, Sam. Chair Calabia, this is Anu. Our next topic is metro bus service changes. And I believe Al Hines and Jim Hamry are connected already.
Excellent. Jim?
Yes, good afternoon.
Jim.
May 29th is the date which the next schedule adjustment will take place. Usually it happens in June for Metrobus, but this year we were able to align the service changes with the start of the summer platform project. And since that begins on the 28th of May, we will be enacting the Metrobus service adjustments on Sunday, May 29th. The major overriding message of this adjustment is service continues pretty much as normal. There's not a lot of really big changes like we did last fall. What you'll see most across the line are adjustments in the running time as we try and get a handle on just how traffic has changed in a post-COVID environment and how that impacts the reliability of our bus services. So there are a number of timetables that are being updated just because the time points are adjusting a little bit here and there in order to improve reliability. Of course, there's always adjustments in names, street names and the like, and so you'll see corrections for that. But the thing we're most proud of is the filling in some of the Saturday start times so that they're more consistent with the weekday start times. Something we learned last winter when we had to temporarily reduce the level of service is that the Saturday supplement service schedule doesn't align very well with as a replacement for weekday in some instances. And so we are adjusting the beginning times and in some cases the ending times of the services to provide for a better coverage and a better substitution for when it's used in a weekday situation, like it will be for the Juneteenth holiday or later in the year for Columbus and Veterans Day. With that sort of an overview, let me turn to my colleague Al Himes and let him describe some of the specific adjustments that he and his team have prepared.
Yeah, no, thanks, Jim. You know, as Jim said, you know, there's, you know, those number of adjustments, and the big one is, you know, those adjustments, the Saturday times. Most of those Saturday times adjustments are taking place on the eastern side in the region. There seemed to be an imbalance of the start times on Saturdays on some of the routes in Prince George's County compared to the weekday service, and those imbalances weren't we did not seem to see those imbalances as much in other parts of the region. So those have been made for the schedule coming up. We also have a number of running time adjustments to further help improve on-time reliability. You know, we're doing 28 lines on weekdays, 22 on Saturdays, and 18 on Sundays. You know, that does not change the frequency or the span or any of that. That's just to help make sure that we have the proper time to run the schedules. There's not, you know, other than the Saturday changes, there's not really big changes associated with this schedule as far as the service that we're delivering. You know, most of that was done back in September of 2021 when we rolled out that frequent all-day service concept, and the budget for fiscal year 23 starting in July continues that service philosophy that was introduced back in September of 2021. So we're just carrying that forward with the schedule that starts in May. And then the only other thing of note that, you know, it's somewhat of a minor adjustment, but the service that we operate in DC when the Metro Rail system is closed, those lines that operate downtown are all being rerouted in those overnight hours down to the new Lafont Plaza headquarters station, as sort of a centralized location to connect all those overnight services, and then also provide our operators a better location to use the restroom and stuff like that in the middle of the night as well. So both an internal and an external improvement, you know, by making that adjustment in the overnight hours. But that's, you know, pretty much the summary. You know, nothing earth shaking this time, you know, just minor tweaks and continuing on with much of what we've been doing.
Yeah, we're very excited to be able to report that the College Park Metro bus station will be finally completed. As you may recall, it was relocated to temporary conditions to allow for the construction of the Purple Line. And MTA finally has completed the reconstruction of our new College Park Metro bus terminal. And so I believe June 12th is the target date for that to reopen. The Metro Express service along New Hampshire Avenue, the K9, which was temporarily suspended, has been restored so that that provides extra capacity along with the K6 on New Hampshire Avenue. And because things always change, even when you've done all your research, there is a temporary extension of the detour for the G8 and the D8 in the District of Columbia up in Northeast because of the storm retention project, you know, the big tunnel that they're digging underneath the city to capture storm runoff. It did not complete upon the expected schedule, and so we'll have to extend those detours a couple. Is it three more months, Al, through the summer?
Yeah, they're basically expecting that to go to September now.
Yeah. And so there'll be a detour in effect, and that'll get reflected whenever anybody queries those routes. With that, we can stand by and answer any questions that you may have about Metrobus.
Well, I can just add one observation. The good news this morning in the Post was that ridership is higher than had been estimated, which is good news. And I suppose that buses are available to absorb the kind of unexpected rise in ridership. Am I correct, Jim or Al?
Yes, this past week we were able to document 308,000 riders on, I believe it was Thursday. Every weekday last week was above 300,000. With 13,500 trips per day on weekdays, we should be able to, we have capacity for somewhere around 330,000 riders per day. So we're not full as a system. Of course, that does mean that there, since ridership is not always uniform, there may be instances when we're seeing some crowding developing. And I believe the quote was about 2% of the stops encountered had reached a crowded level of service, which is below where we had been, but above where we want to be. And so as we try and forecast what's going to happen, you know, with the recovery. We'll be watching very closely to make sure that we can match capacity with demand. And of course, this past week is when the federal workforce was supposed to fully start returning to the office, at least partially. This week, Metro is starting to return to the office for a couple of days a week. And so you're seeing businesses like that across the region begin the more traditional commuter traffic. And we're all very eager to watch that and see how that'll affect our plans for the fall.
You mentioned that Metro is returning to the office. Is that the reporters building at L'Enfant Plaza or at Judiciary Square?
Well, everywhere, actually. The folks have been moving into the new headquarters building. Well, Al started, what, 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago. And we'll be, since he's moving out of Jackson Graham, we're putting some people into his workspace and inviting them to come back in. And so you'll see a lot of movement among the Metro staff across all of our offices. And of course, by the end of the year, there'll be the Alexandria building open. And then next year, the New Carrollton building will be opening.
Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments from advisory committee members regarding what Jim and Al presented? Any questions? I'm unable to see hands up. So Anu, I'm relying on you to signal if anybody is raising their hands. You're muted.
I realized. Yes, this is Anu. We do not have any hands up, but yeah, I guess it's been a very nice day today. We got some sun after many, many days in this area. So perhaps people are enjoying that. Thomas, uh-huh. Are you trying to make some comments? Go ahead.
What is the change that's going to be done? Is it going to be easier for wheelchair users to use the service, or is we going to have the same problems that we had before? And also, I want to say to Mr. Rush, it was good to see you. It's been a long time since I've seen you, and I'm glad to be able to see you again. Now, is there going to be any things done? And is I'm being accountable for this meeting? Because I don't know when I got on early enough for roll call or not.
Okay. This is Anu. Thomas, I did notice that you were connected, so I did mark your presence. To answer your last question first, and you had questions about if it's going to be, the service is going to improve to help people who use wheelchairs?
Yes.
Are you talking about accessibility on buses?
Accessibility on buses or any other transportation company, any other transportation y'all was talking about. Is it going to be accessible? Because I heard about the subway and whatnot. So I just want to know, because like a lot of places that you go to, they don't even make sure that you know before you get off the train that the elevator is not working. Then you got to get back on the train and probably go like two or three stops down to go back to where you wanted to go because the elevators is all out or the landing don't meet the train when you're coming out of it. Or the buses, you know, it's so tight that a ramp system don't really work. The space that you get into, what have you, because some of the buses, when you walk on there, is more narrow than other buses is. So other buses got more space, and some of them don't have that much space. So you're blocking people that try to get on the bus. So that's why I want to know.
Tom, actually, Jim and Al may be able to try and answer your questions about buses, but about trains, that's not in their jurisdiction.
Okay.
Jim or Al?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the buses, I mean, the service changes that we're making, I mean, we're not updating, you know, we're not changing anything about the buses that we operate in the fleet. So that type of stuff, the space that's available on the particular buses and stuff like that, you know, that would probably need to be a discussion, you know, that we would need to invite bus maintenance and bus engineering to talk about if there's any particular issues that you're seeing with the current configuration of the Metro buses that we have in service right now.
Yeah, we continue to get new buses in and retire old buses as we normally do, but the general design and the manufacturing remain the same. There are improvements in the number of handholds in buses. The area in the back near the back door where you're not supposed to stand, excuse me, has increased messaging and brighter yellow tiles to make sure you're aware and that sort of thing. I would point out that the reopening of the College Park Metro Station, Metro Bus Terminal, will make things a whole lot easier for people to get on and off buses at that location, because we've been at street side and then you had to follow a winding path around the construction to get into the metro station, or even to get to other buses, you've had to cross streets. Now everything will be off street and we'll be in a bus loop. We are completing the work on at the Calvert Street Terminal up in Northwest DC. And once that opens, that'll improve the accessibility, and eventually it'll have replacement shelters, as will Colorado Avenue. We're actually going to be putting in a passenger waiting shelter there at the Revenue bus stop. That'll be coming in later in the fall. And one thing you should be watching for is the closure of the Orange Line, Minnesota Avenue, Deanwood, Chevrolet, Landover, New Carrollton, for the summer, beginning May 28th through September 6th. We will have replacement bus service, metro buses and contractor buses with some supplemental wheelchair accessible vehicles. Just a basic service plans that we've done in the past, and that'll be operating all summer. So you'll need to be careful and be thoughtful about if you're going to those locations.
I have one more question. With the Orange Line stopping, do y'all have any record of how many people is in wheelchairs to take the Orange Line? Because you might have to make sure you have a lot of wheelchair buses, because I do know you got some that just basically carry wheelchairs or whatnot. So is you gonna make sure you have a lot more of them? Because people have to get to work or whatnot, they still have to do so. So do y'all have any idea on how many wheelchairs that may catch in the subway, wheelchair users?
Yeah, I do not have a specific count that I can describe for you, but our approach has been to be ready to handle whomever shows up to a bus stop. All of our buses is accessible. Metrobus will be operating this one route during the weekdays and all the services on the weekends. And of course, all of our buses are regularly accessible. And then we'll have a contractor over the road coaches, and we'll have complimentary wheelchair accessible vehicles to help. And we'll have plenty of them. So we're not anticipating that to be an issue. We had a closure this past weekend. We had Saturday, of course, was really rainy and ridership was down. So we had just a little over 2,300 riders on Saturday and about the same number on Sunday. So we've had pretty good exposure to the rider count and have not come across any issues so far.
Okay.
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. We do not have any hands up from the members, the committee members. However, we do have one person of the member of the public with a raised hand. Would you be taking any members of the public at this point? Sure.
Okay. Yes.
Barbara, please go ahead and ask a question or make your comment.
Hey, this is Barbara. You guys, I want to thank you guys so much for your great bus service, especially during the COVID times. I listened to a few news pieces, notably on NPR, and they were highlighting the challenges that bus drivers face during COVID. And of course, a lot of it was the safety, health-wise and stuff, but it really kind of hit home for me. The great job that you guys are doing day in and day out. So I just wanted to thank you guys.
Well, thank you. We'll be sure to pass that on to the operations folks who've done all the work. Al and I are lucky to just be the tip of the iceberg.
Well, thank you.
And your beard looks really great. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Barbara. This is Anu again, Chair Calabria. Donnie, I see your hand is up. Go ahead, please. Donnie Bush.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Basically, mine is a little follow-up on Thomas's information. Because many of the buses are small and you haven't really changed to different models, a lot of them are narrow and they don't accommodate some of the oversized wheelchairs or scooters. And so I would say that especially you really need to make sure that the shuttles that you use or the buses that you use for stations that are out of service or being renovated have accessible a great number of wider buses and rider buses for shuttles that you use as shuttles. So I wanted to say that. And
well, thank you. Yeah, the oversized wheelchairs do present a challenge. Unfortunately, there's one bus manufacturer in North America, and New Flyer is the coach of choice for Metrobus. So the low floor wheel ramp deployment, which improves the access and reliability versus the old lift, unfortunately does have that restriction between the wheel wells in the front. And I'm not sure there's anything we can do about that. For the shuttle, the supplemental wheelchair accessible vehicles will be able to accommodate some of the larger mobility devices. And I would point out that one thing we're doing at New Carrollton to help make sure that people can travel between the north side bus terminal and the south side bus terminal, despite all the construction in the middle, is we will be running a shuttle bus that'll route around between the two. And that'll be our Falcon contractor that we've been using for the last 3 years.
And one other thing is, how do you plan to let the communities know that they'll be under construction and what vehicles and shuttle times and all of that are available?
Yeah, this is the month when all of the public information is starting to be released. There'll be people at all of those stations handing out brochures and answering questions. There'll be email notices, there'll be newsletters, there'll be news articles, and that work will continue throughout the first few weeks of the shutdown to make sure that people are aware of what's happening and can plan accordingly.
And will you physically have people doing the whole renovation time?
Yes, we will have at each station, we'll have a station captain, a customer service rep. There will be several of the outreach specialists, and that will be the situation all hours of operation.
And I have one other concern. With everyone returning to work, well, most people returning, have you increased the availability of safety officers on trains and buses?
Well, we haven't been able to add more officers. There is a class that's recently graduated. It's a small number. But for the Orange Line shutdown, we have been working with Metro Transit Police to make sure that there are officers on duty at those stations and available to ensure that they're safe environments. We're also, for all the Metro staff that are working these projects, they're going through a special training seminar to make sure that they can handle the unique challenges that may come up over the course of the summer.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for the questions.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the public or from the committee? If not, let's thank Jim and Al for their information and the response to comments and questions that were made. Thank you again, Jim and Al.
You're welcome. Thank you for the invitation to be here.
Yes.
Thank you.
The next, let's see. We now move into the period where we can discuss the follow-up on the motion that, well, the recommendation that Phil had made to the WMATA board. Am I right?
Yes, Chair Calabria. So if you would like to start off with that topic, Dr. Posner had recommended to discuss closure of north entrance at the Lafont Plaza station.
Okay. Can we take that after we deal with the recommendation that Phil had made earlier?
Sure.
Okay. Let me mention that while I was coming on to the Zoom, the Washington Post announced that about a half hour before our meeting was to begin, the Washington Post mentioned it had just won a Pulitzer Prize. And no, the Pulitzer Prize wasn't for the article that they had published using the interview with Phil, which was a long article. It was six columns wide. It included two pictures, including one of Phil. No, they didn't win the Pulitzer Prize for that. But what we're talking about now is the article that appeared in the Sunday Post of May 1st. They were reporting on a long interview that was held with Phil, who's here with us today. And what I thought would be a nice follow-up to the recommendation that the advisory committee had made, which Phil communicated to the WMATA board, is how to help WMATA encourage the use of masks. I have to say that since the mask requirement was lifted, I was on two trains, and I was pleased to see that most people in our region were using masks, and also on the buses that I've been taking since the masks were lifted. Anyway, you'll remember that our advisory committee had recommended that the WMATA board encouraged the use of masks even though they are no longer required. And Phil passed on that recommendation to the WMATA board, and that prompted the long article, which the Post published on May 1st. Just after inspecting the fare box at Judiciary Square on my way home, I saw that in the station at Judiciary Square, there were electronic signs which showed WMATA's mentioning of the use of masks. And I emailed everyone three pictures of such signs, and Anu has agreed to try and show them on her screen. Anu, if you could do that.
Sure. One moment. I'm hoping everyone who can view my screen now and should be able to see a picture at this point.
And I'll try and describe it. The first one shows a receptacle which holds four compartments with available masks. And each compartment says, take one. And you can see a rider's hand lifting a mask out of one of the compartments. And the headline says, need a mask? We've got extras. And this is one way that WMATA is trying to make sure we continue to be protected from the COVID. The next picture, Anu, if you can. The next one shows a rider with a mask on, and the headline of this picture is Breathe Easy. And it talks about the ways that the WMATA is trying to help people avoid infections by the COVID. The third one, Anu. And again, it's another version of the message. You can see a young man, he's wearing a mask, and under the headline reads, rest easy, ride confident. And in smaller type, it mentions that there are face masks that are available and that sort of thing. So these signs are already in metro stations. And what I mentioned as a way of following up with a recommendation that Phil communicated to the WMATA board is that perhaps our hope that WMATA would encourage uses of this could be adapted into one or all of the three signs to ensure that the message is confirmed as we hope that the WMATA board would do. The last picture, this is of a ride-on bus. Ride-on serves the county that I live in. And I was pleased to see and take a picture of the front of a ride-on bus and flashing at the very top of the bus, the front of the bus, is a message, masks are encouraged and they're available to riders. So this one explicitly says that masks are encouraged, in the same vein that we were hoping that WMATA itself on trains and buses would encourage the use of masks, even though all of us acknowledge that masks are not required at this time. So I'm hoping that by virtue of our recommendation to the WMATA board, maybe our own staff can approach the relevant offices within Metro and ask if they might be able to adapt the message to further recommend, explicitly recommend the use of masks. Phil, who made the recommendations at a WMATA board meeting, a recent meeting. Phil, are you still there? I can't see the screen as to who's available. But Phil, you could comment, please.
I'm still here.
Yes. Dr. Posner stated he's still connected with the meeting.
Yes.
I can stop sharing at this point.
Sure, if you could.
All right.
So Phil, do you want to elaborate?
They're doing a very good job when I spoke with them, and they're making the point that the mandate may be illegal, but the benefit to the health of wearing masks is perfectly legal and is recommended. And on a lighter note, you can't see me smiling. There were 3 attempted bank robberies today in Boston, and all 3 of the bank robbers were wearing surgical masks to protect them from COVID.
Oh my gosh.
And one of them was the Bank of America right at the Boston Metro stop. So they came out of the Metro with their mask on, went into the bank, jumped the counter, and got some money.
Well, I'm not sure that's the only reason that people really can wear masks, but it is interesting.
Yes.
Can we recommend now that our staff bring to the attention of the appropriate offices to see how the recommendation of encouraging mask wearing be explicit and perhaps adapted into the signs that already exist in the station? And I'm not sure, I haven't seen any bus with a sign similar to what the ride-on bus says, but if there's no such recommendation on the Metro buses, maybe an office can help figure out how that kind of message could be included on our own Metro buses. Phil, what do you think?
Yes. I can send an email to the public relations people and see if they can add that. One thing they are doing on the rail already is there is the sign that if you need a mask, the station manager has masks.
Yes.
For your use. And that's very good.
Yes, that's excellent. That's excellent. Carol and Christian and Anu, I take it that you all would be prepared to make the follow-up with the appropriate offices within Metro buses, Metro rail.
Sure, Calabria, this is an, I'm not sure if Mr. Blake is available, but we can surely communicate this, the recommendation of the AAC to the communications department. We can do that.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yes, we will. Well, I see Jim's hand is up, so let's let Jim, I'll let Jim speak for this. Yes.
Oh, Jim Hamery is still on?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic and one we've spent a lot of time. Yes, for the last 2 years, we've had an audio message on board representing the requirement for masks for all. And we've had a, on the destination sign, like the ride-on bus, we've had a similar sign that said masks required. With the change in policies, The destination sign will not be used going forward, and the audio messages have been adjusted for our May 28th schedule to represent basically that they're optional and that we encourage riders to use masks, but encourage people to also respect everyone's individual decisions. And we continue to distribute the masks. I think we've distributed about 1.3 million on Metrobus over the last 2 years.
Very good. Okay, so, but will there be some message encouraging uses of the mask, even though there's an acknowledgement that they're not legally required any longer, Jim?
Yes, there will be an audio message, but the complexities of the destination sign, we will terminate that use.
Hmm. Okay, well, at least we've made an attempt, and there is an example of a message sign on buses for your consideration. But thank you. Are there any comments by advisory committee members or by the public? Hearing none, we've completed that item on the agenda. And I suppose we should move on to the next. Anua, I don't see the agenda on my screen.
No worries, Chair Calabria. So the committee had floating bus stops as a committee discussion, and Dr. Posner had recommended to discuss the Lafont Plaza closure. So you can begin discussion on either of the two topics at this point.
Well, since Phil is still with us, Phil, why don't you mention what you added to our agenda? Yes, Phil?
The north entrance of L'Enfant Plaza will be closed for 7 months. That is the entrance where they have all of the shuttles to Waterfront. It's a little distance from the new Metro headquarters, but it will be confusing to people trying to get to Metro headquarters. And the question is, will there be sufficient signage and directions from Metro Access for people coming in for cards, for registration, for testing, et cetera, of how to get to the new headquarters from the L'Enfant Plaza station, which is already a difficult station, even if all the entrances are open. So I think just a question to make sure that the pathway from the orange, silver, red, and blue lines will be well documented to get to the new headquarters.
Phil, this is Carol Lopez. That's a very good point. We have discussed signage on how to use the system, where the other stations' entrances are, where the elevator continues to be. However, to my knowledge, we have not discussed, other than within this committee, and something Mr. Blake has asked us to do, is to find to create a wayfinding information to the new headquarters. In the big picture, I don't think we have signage that says where the new headquarters is. That's a very good idea. Perhaps we were looking at putting something on our website on how to get to the new Transit Accessibility Center, but perhaps we can take advantage of the signage, and we'll look into that.
If I might, I there's a complicated access corridor at one of the exits or entrances to L'Enfant Plaza. And that one goes through a corridor full of shops and restaurants and such. And then you have to go down some stairs, and then you have to cross, I think it's 7th Street. And then you have to cross 7th and maybe D, I forget, to get to what used to be called the Reporters Building, which will be our new headquarters. That alone is a rather complicated way to exit a metro stop, one of the three that exists serving L'Enfant Plaza. Will that be the one that's open during the closure of the other two? Do you know?
There are two that remain open. The one that is going to be replaced is the escalators that are going to be replaced are the ones that are near the across the street from the metro elevator.
7th and Maryland is the entrance that'll be closed, but the elevator will continue to function.
Yes.
So that'll be accessible. And the to your point, Mr. Calabia, the entrance that you described is a complicated one for anybody to use. Fortunately, the other D Street entrance is literally across the street from the building, old Constitution Center. And that's also where the Metro buses and DC circulator buses are. And so that will be a direct line of sight. When you come up out of that station, you'll be able to see exactly where you're going. The elevator access will continue to be over on the west side of 7th Street on the north side of the railroad. And that will take some trailblazing sign, and we'll be happy to assist with that.
That exit is the one where you come up out of the elevator, and then you have to walk under the Virginia train, rail train. Is that the one you mean?
Yes, the one that's closed is the one that's on the north side of the station, closest to the mall area.
Okay. Oh, that's the one that's closed.
That's the one that's closed.
And that's the more complicated, the most complicated of the three, correct? That one will be closed?
Depends on how familiar you are with that part of the city. I've been using that one as a VRE rider for nearly three decades, so I'm pretty familiar with it.
Yeah.
We've had some complaints from VRE riders coming out with their wheelchairs and mobility devices going across the railroad tracks and getting out into the street. So that doesn't have anything to do with headquarters, but VRE to the rest of the world for disability people is not easy.
Yes.
And of course, they've got two entrances, one on 7th Street and one on 6th Street, both of which will allow them easy access into the Metro headquarters.
Okay. Well, this calls to mind a discussion that we started last week when we were talking about bylaws. Is it possible for us to maintain Zoom meetings through the period when two of the three stations are closed?
We're going to continue Zoom meetings for quite a while. I wouldn't worry about that right now. I mean, we're going to do Zoom meetings at least through the end of this calendar year, but probably through the end of the fiscal year and beyond. So I wouldn't focus. I mean, I wouldn't worry about that too much at this point.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you very much, Christian. Any other comments from advisory committee members or Barbara, if she's still on? Anyone else?
Chair Calabria, this is
good afternoon. I'm sorry, go ahead, Anu.
Go ahead. Is that B? Go ahead.
It is. Good afternoon, everyone. How's everyone doing today? I just wanted to share that speaking of the access to the Transit Accessibility Center, the closest spot for customers to get off would be at that 7th and D VRE Smithsonian elevator, would put you right up underneath that VRE bridge. And we are right across from that bridge. So our entrance follows that street, which is Virginia Avenue. When customers exit the other way on the Constitution side, they should walk down to 6th and then come down to 7 because it's less of a hill for customers to access our new entrance. So I just wanted to share. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Any other comments? Or
Chair
question.
This is Anu. I do not see any other hands up. I will just say that if any members would like to make comments, you can come off of mute and go ahead and make your comment. Okay. No hands up at this point.
Okay. Then let's move on to the last item, which is the floating bus stops.
Anu?
We have.
I'm sorry.
Chair Calabia, Vanessa, are you trying to make some comments?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, I just put my hand up. So
okay.
I just, okay. So just for informational purposes, so I can, you know, tell the consumers that I communicate with, is there an address that, physical address, that I can let them know what a new location is? And what information can I give them regarding when that building will be accessible to the public? Or are we still on the same ruling as the old building as far as not coming to the building?
I am looking up the address as we speak. Give me a few minutes.
It's 655 Virginia Avenue Southwest. I'm trying to verify that, but
that's the Transit Accessibility Center.
Yes, that's the address. This is B. That is the address for the Transit Accessibility Center.
And for the new headquarters,
is it 350 7th Street Southwest?
Well, maybe I won't provide it. I mean, it's just information I like to give them.
And this is
it's the new location is 300 7th Street Southwest, Washington D.C. 20024.
Okay, so will there be any type of virtual tour, or will I be able to, because I heard from a driver and he says it's an awesome state-of-the-art building, and will there be an opportunity for, you know, the blind community to have some type of audio of what's there, what's on the floors, you know, where they can go to once things open back up type of thing?
Okay. I could give you a brief verbal description of the entrance for the new building, or are you talking about the Transit Accessibility Center?
Well, something to give the consumers, because I report to them after I go to Metro Access meetings to two groups.
Oh, I
so
see.
So one tonight and one tomorrow.
Oh, I see. So when you enter the new building, headquarters building, it's beautiful because it has artwork everywhere. It's new for sure. The elevators have talked to you, and you can. Press to go a particular floor. The new conference room where the board meets can be divided up in more spaces. So it's a very large conference room, and you can divide it up, I believe, in three sections. The restrooms have large spaces for people who use large wheelchairs. So you can maneuver through it easily. And all those things can be accessed without having to go through the security gates to go upstairs. You go through through security at one level only.
So our meetings are going to be, we have to use the elevators now?
You don't have to use the elevators to go to the meetings. I know that there's another conference room. I actually haven't, was just there last week. There's another conference room that's small at that same level with the large conference rooms. So
are we going to still get the same type?
Well, let me be kind of clear. For now, there are going to be board meetings. I'm not sure when those are going to resume with public access. I don't know at this point in time. The AAC meetings, it's probably going to be a while before we come in person to the new building. That's one reason. Right now, I think the customer focus should be on the Transit Accessibility Center, because I believe, generally speaking, most customers who come to that building, that will be where most of your interaction will be at, either for eligibility purposes, replacement of cards. If you're coming for a meeting, even if you come through that entrance, somebody from, let's say, ADAP's not down there, but my office is there and others, you still can come into the transit accessibility address that I shared earlier. And that is actually an entrance that's closer to the entrance that Mr. Hamry was talking about earlier. That is actually the closest entrance into the building. So in terms of a tour of the building, I'm not sure about that. I don't know when that will take place, because technically right now, except for the Transit Accessibility Center, like we were down at the headquarters, the old headquarters, right now, that's the only part that's theoretically open to the public. And people can come down there to drop off applications, get replacement cards, et cetera. So I think we're still a little early. They're still doing some fixes around the building. There's a little bit of construction going on the side of the building. I think we're still a little ways away before we're bringing members of the AAC into that building for official work. So I would hold off on this conversation. Let's pause this conversation until we're ready to really open up the building and welcome everyone in for purposes beyond going into the Transit Accessibility Center.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. This is Anu. I see Philippa, you have your hand up.
Yes, I'm just trying to picture where 307th Street is. Is it actually in the L'Enfant complex where Banneker Circle and all that is, and the L'Enfant Hotel, or is it down on the street?
No.
Oh.
If you're looking at, all I can remember is the HUD building. If you remember the Department of Urban Housing and Urban Development.
Right. I know that one.
It is diagonally across the street from there.
Okay. Do you know the cross street? You know, it's 307th Street, but what is the cross street like? Like D Street, E Street, whatever.
Okay. I'll look that up. But here's the key.
D Street, Southwest.
Okay, but it's down
the back building.
D is in David.
But that's the 300 entrance. The 655 address I gave you, that faces, or if you want to say it's parallel to the VRE tracks. It's parallel to those train tracks that you would walk under as you're leaving to or going to the metro station entrance.
Yeah, to go to the Transit Accessibility Center, you go to Virginia Avenue.
Okay. So it's all one building, just different entrances.
That is correct.
Okay, yeah. That's what was throwing me. Okay, all right.
Okay, this thank you. This is Thomas, I see your hand is up, so if you want to come off of mute. And while you're doing that, what I would also do is for the convenience of all the members, AAC members, and I would send an email with information about the Transit Accessibility Center sometime this week, so that if anybody has any purpose of going or contacting the office, they will be able to do that. Thomas, go ahead, please.
Yeah, my question is this. For the different other transportation committees and whatnot, when it's not being used, with the conference rooms that's not being used there, would people be able to rent some of the conference rooms that not being used when it comes to the different committees on transportation or whatnot? Would be open for the public to do so, what have you? That's what I want to know.
I doubt that very seriously, but I'm not the management or owner of the building, so I don't know for sure. I would say I doubt it, because those conference rooms are specific to different to the authority, and then there'll be other companies in that building. It won't be just occupied by WMATA. So how that's going to work out, I'm not sure, but I have a feeling if I'm picturing what you're asking, like you could go to a public library and rent a room, or not even rent it, you can reserve a room for a community meeting. You're saying do that in rooms that are in this building. Anything's possible, but I would not plan on that at this moment. Again, right now the building's not even open to the public, but what it would be going forward, anything's possible, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
Philippa, I see your hand is up. Is it from before, or did you raise your hand again? You're on mute now. Go ahead.
Okay, no, that was from before. I'm sorry.
No problem. I just wanted to make sure that if you need to make more comments, you do get that opportunity. Right.
Okay, I lowered it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member who would like to make some comments or have questions? Members of the AAC?
Hearing none, okay. Let's move on to the final item, which is a discussion of the floating bus stops. And Philippa, I hope you stay with us, because I think you volunteered along with Patrick to help me and the committee somehow begin to educate the bicycle riding public about the need to keep in mind the safety of people with disabilities and seniors. let's see. We don't have a guest at this time, but I'm hoping that we can arrange for a meeting with the Bicyclists Association, of which there are several here in Washington. I'm not sure which is the principal one. Maybe there is even a national one. But in any event, I'm hoping that we can arrange for presentations to be made to one or more of these Bicyclists Association about what our committee has been discussing regarding safety for people with disabilities and seniors. What I would offer to do, and I hope Patrick might, as well as Philippa, maybe between now and the next couple of weeks, or the next meeting, we can come up with some talking points that the three of us or more of us could use when we make presentations to the Bicyclists Associations. I'd be willing to draft something. And Patrick, you've thought about this even longer than I am, sure. Maybe you would like to draft up some talking points that we could include in a package that you, I, and Filippo would use when we address Bicyclists Association. What do you think, Patrick? Are you there?
I'm here, Tino. Thank you. Yes, I've got a couple of people here that I've been working with on that, so I certainly could draft up some talking points.
Okay.
And something that would be consistent with our positions here, you know, as far as access is concerned. Yeah.
If you could do that with me and Filippa, and we'll chime in. And then at the next AAC meeting in June, maybe we could bring it up, or certainly by the next bus rail.
Bus rail, okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, good.
Would you agree, Filippa?
Yeah, I would also. Well, my only concern is that I think a lot of these guys who are riding these bicycles in a wanton manner on these sidewalks are not in an association. I was wondering if we can possibly do some sort of entreaty to, I don't know, Ward 1 I know is inundated. I don't know if there are other wards, but to some of the council members or something, or are we allowed to do that? Or
why not? Okay. Sure. Maybe we have to address even the city council itself.
Right.
Matter of importance to all people in the city. And if you know of some AMCs or city council members who would entertain our presentation to them, I imagine for a while we'll be doing this by Zoom. But in any event, Filippa, if you could join Patrick and me in drafting some points, and we can discuss that in June, the points.
In June, okay. When are we doing? Are we doing something today, or just waiting until June?
I think we only have less than 20 minutes left in this meeting.
Okay.
But so Patrick said he would draft up some points, share it with you and me, and we can then have something to discuss either at the June AAC meeting or no later than with the June BRS meeting. And then we go forward in asking to be able to make presentation to bicyclists, whoever they are, or the ANC, or wherever. Okay.
Okay. Chair, well, I'll reach out to my council member's office and just see, you know, one of her aides, if they have any suggestions as well.
Sure. That'd be great. Great.
Okay.
Chair, this is Anu. Dr. Posner has his hand up. Dr. Posner, go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. I think we ought to plan on presentations to local schools that are near the floating bus stops, because a lot of the students will be bicycle riders, and having the schools participate. The other question I have is, there a possibility of having the traffic cameras in the area of those floating bus stops?
I didn't hear you, Phil. Could you, the last sentence, could you repeat that one?
Yes. Is it possible to have traffic cameras that are in that area have a wide enough view to see what is happening in the bicycle lanes near the floating bus stops?
Or if there are none, no cameras, let's ask for them to be installed.
Thank you.
My God, around the school, so many children have been hit in the past year. It's really terrible.
By bicycles?
Endangered by traffic in general.
Okay.
I don't know if bicycles have hit anybody. Well, that's one of the problems we have. There are no statistics that I know of regarding accidents caused by bicyclists, or certainly accidents caused by bicyclists who hit people with disabilities or with seniors. I don't know of any statistics, so we're kind of at a limitation. But let's see what we can do, what we can come up with.
Okay. If I may, I just wanted to ask Phil if he's using a Bluetooth speaker, because when I use one, it minimizes my microphone volume.
No.
Okay.
I'm just using my normal computer.
Okay. Well, it's not very normal, but okay.
It's not very.
Phil, your volume is low.
Extremely.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a way to turn up your mic or whatever. I've been having problems with my own, so I understand.
Well, you're loud and clear now, Patrick. So
that's good. Okay. Yeah. Good. Thank you, Tina. That was actually going to be my next question.
Yes. Well, Anu, I think we've completed the agenda. Is there any public comments now?
Chair Calabria, we did not receive any public comments via email or phone messages. However, I do want to state that anybody who would like to make comments can email us or call and leave a message. The email address is metroaacchair@wmata.com. And the phone number to call and leave message is 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement for public meetings.
And one reminder, Anu.
Yes.
Deadline for new applicants is this coming Friday.
It's coming Friday, April 13th, 5 p.m. So anybody, if the committee members would like to forward the information to any organizations or individuals from the jurisdictions from which we seek applicants, please do so. Feel free to spread the word as much as possible. We have received some applications. And we are also receiving more applications. Deadline, mm-hmm. as Chair Calabria just stated, is Friday, 5 p.m., May 13th. Afterwards, we would be reviewing all the applications and then the process would begin.
Have we heard from anyone from the Hispanic community? Now that Elber is gone, we don't have anyone.
I would not have that information on top of my memory at this point.
Advisory committee members, if you know people within the Hispanic community, we really should try and have a diverse advisory committee. And since Elver has gone on to the federal level, we could use some. Carol, as a Hispanic yourself, are you familiar with any Latino organizations that we might approach? You're muted.
I'm sorry, Tino. I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, since we've completed the agenda, unless anyone has any last minute remarks, I entertain a motion to adjourn. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I'm motion to adjourn.
Second, Felipe.
And thank you for the second. All in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
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 Okay, thank you very much.
Aye.
The meeting is adjourned and we will see you at the MAS meeting this coming Monday and then the full AAC in June. Thank you very much, all. Thank you.